some of the things that are happening around us. Every day, there's something new. If it's not from Washington, it's from the hospitals. Recently, I look at the news and a news media worker decided to travel with one of the ambulances to see how they operate throughout the day. And the ambulance picked up a sick person and took that person to the hospital. And for 2 hours, they were waiting for a bed. Now, you know how they got the bed? Somebody that was in the hospital passed away. And that's what made it possible for that person in the ambulance to get a bed in the hospital. And so many things are going on these days that sometimes as believers, praise be to God, that we can turn our eyes to Calvary and we can cry out, Lord, have mercy. Amen. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 4. But just before I read the scriptures, let us ask the Lord's blessing again. Blessed Lord and Master, we thank you for who you are. You are God, and beside you there is none other. We thank you, O God, that in spite of all that is happening around us, you are in charge. And we thank you, O God, that we can depend on you. Lord God and Father, this morning, as I open your word, I ask you, O God, for deliverance, that the speaker may not be seen, he will be heard, but that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be glorified. Lord, if there's anyone in here this morning who do not know you, help that person or persons to realize that he or she or they are not here by accident, but that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who gave his life a ransom for us, invite you here this morning so that you can hear his word, and not only hearing it, but believe and be saved. And for those of us who are believers, O God, help us, O God, that we will gird up our loins and do what is required of us to teach the word, to preach the word, knowing, O God, that's the only way that we are going to overcome all the things that are going on around us. We give you thanks in Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen. Amen. In Matthew chapter 4, we read that Jesus Christ, after he was baptized at the River Jordan by John the Baptist, that the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." God was pleased and is pleased with Jesus Christ and what he did. And the scripture said he was taken up into the wilderness and be tempted or tested by the devil. We thank the Lord that everything that Jesus did while here on earth for 3.5 years, it was to teach us who he is and how we should behave and conduct ourselves as believers. Jesus was tested for 40 days, and the scripture said that he was hungry, and the enemy, the devil, knew everything about that. And brothers and sisters, the devil not going to test us in a way that we can easily say, that's not me. Every one of us, when we are tested in a way, in something that we could easily be doing or attempt to do. But Jesus taught us something. Everything that the enemy said about Jesus. First, he said that he should command these stones to be made bread. Why? He knew that Jesus was hungry. But you know what? Almost everything that the devil would use against us, there's something in the Word of God to guide us and to teach us not to do it, or not to say it, or not to go there. Jesus was able to say, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. When was that said in the scripture? I think it said in Genesis 2:16-17. Why? When God, the children of Israel, was going through the wilderness, they were hungry. And God gave them food to eat that they have never eaten before. You know, its name is manna. And the word manna means, what is it? Until this day, I don't think there was another name given to the manna. And that's the time God said to the children of Israel, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Satan said, all right, we're going to move on. Then he tests him again. The scripture said that he take him up to a high mountain. And he tell him to do what? To do what? All of us know the scriptures. So when I'm going to ask a few questions this morning. What was the second thing that the devil said to the Lord Jesus? Hello? Could you imagine if you were watching the sports and your team was winning? Let's say you was watching the Mets and they were losing, and all of a sudden they need one run to win, and a guy go up there and hit a home run. What would you say? What would you do? You would jump and say, hey, the Mets won. Okay, let's go back again. What was the second thing that the Lord said, that the devil said to Jesus? Amen. Okay. And what Jesus said? You shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Let's move on. Test number three. What did the devil say to the Lord? What did he do to him? He showed him all the kingdom of the world. And he said, listen, fall down and worship me. Would you imagine the devil is telling the Lord to worship him with something that Jesus made, the world? And Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not worship the Lord thy God. Amen. Praise God that Jesus taught us that when we are tested, we use the word. And the scripture said, the devil, let's say, because Jesus could not be tested. He could not sin. And beloved, let me tell you this. The things that are happening around us today, the only thing that we have going for us is the greatest thing that we could not think, person that we could ever have, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world for one specific purpose, and that is to die for us, to redeem us back to himself. Let's move on. verse 17 of Matthew chapter 4. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, verse 17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, when after Jesus was tested and he returned, he did not spend time telling the folks around him that, man, I have a wonderful time. The devil tried to tempt me, but he couldn't win. And he could tell some stories, but Jesus did not tell some stories. He tell this story. And the story is what he came here for. The scripture said again, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If over 2,000 years ago, Jesus was preaching to repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, if the kingdom of heaven was at hand then, could you imagine? No. And everything that we are seeing and hearing is telling us that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you're here this morning, again, I do not know everyone, especially the fact that we are wearing this mask. I cannot tell who you are. But you know, if you are here and you have never confessed your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to have mercy and save you, you see and you hear everything that is happening. Nobody have to tell you that almost 400,000 folks died from the pandemic. Not 400,000 people died in general. Those are only the people who died from the sickness. And remember, there are people who are dying every day otherwise from the other than from the pandemic. Those people who are in the hospitals, who go there for different sickness and are dead. There are many people who are dying from accidents. There are many who are dying because they are taking their life. They cannot take the virus anymore. There are some men, some women, wives and husbands who cannot stay home anymore. The joy that they used to have by leaving the home and go to work, they do not have that anymore, and they have to live with that man or that woman who they cannot stand. And many of them, not my word, are killing themselves. Where I live, every day that I go on the highway, sometimes you see accidents, 6 cars piled up. Sometimes you see the sheet out here. Anytime you see the sheet covered over somebody, they are gone. Let me tell you something. If you are here this morning and you do not know Jesus, God is good. The scripture declares that God does not rather the death of a sinner, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus Christ died for your sin and for mine. And the service that we just had a while ago, when we were enjoying the feast prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ before he was crucified, we are doing it because we are redeemed people. Why? Not because we deserve to be redeemed, but because of the love of Jesus Christ. The next thing that Jesus did, and this is especially for us believers, he was walking by the sea, and there he saw 2 brothers fishing, and he told them to come and follow him. And the scripture says immediately they gave up the boat and they started to follow Jesus. And he continued a little further, and he saw 2 other brothers with their father mending their fishing nets. It's very important that we understand that. They didn't just be fishing, but they were fishers of men. They were fishers of fish, and their net was broken. Brethren, it is very important for us that when we go out to fish, that before we go, Jesus told them, especially the first two, Peter and his brother, that follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They were fishers of fish before, but because of what Jesus came here for, to save us, to redeem us, he decided to have men with him, workers with him, to become fishers of men. The two that was mending their nets, it is important that we prepare our hearts in every way possible when we are preaching the gospel. If you go out there with a broken net, we are not going to catch any fish. It is very important that we prepare our hearts. The letter that my brother just read about what we did a month or so ago by beginning to take care of our community. Jesus, several places in the scripture, went out to preach. And one day he was out there preaching for days. And because he bring a new message, the people were excited to hear the messages. And they were hungry. And Jesus said to disciples, feed them because they are hungry. And if you let them go home the way they are, they could faint by the way. And one of the disciples said, Master, I'm going to use the money that we have here today. If we have $5,000, it would not be enough to buy enough bread to feed them. And Jesus asked a question, what do you have? And they said, they have 7 fish, 7 loaves, and 5 fishes. I think I'm right. Some scriptures give less, a little more, but they had some fishes and some bread. And Jesus said, set them in order and bring the fish and the bread to me. And our Lord Jesus, because of who he is, he gave thanks. And then he began to break the bread and give to the disciples and said, feed them. And they were all fed and be filled. And the scripture said that they have picked up how much basket? 12 baskets remaining. Praise be to God for who Jesus Christ is. Now, I know several times it is said, sometimes when we discuss feeding our community, that Jesus preached first and then he fed. But brethren, let me tell you something. We have to do it the opposite, because for the years that we live in our community, we did not go out as Jesus did and preach and teach the gospel. So thanks be to God that when we decided to feed the community, they came. Praise God. They came. And that letter that was read a while ago tells us that we should continue to do what we have just started to do. Instead of, we should have been doing it over 100 years ago. But unfortunately, we had a large group in here, and we believe that we were doing a wonderful job. But the people out there, they need to hear the gospel. And my beloved brethren, we do not know when this virus is going to cease. But we trust in God that he's going to open the doors again. We are hoping that the medicine that is out there, that it will work and work fast. We heard what is going on. Many hospitals cannot get it. Many old age home cannot get it. A lady, I saw it on TV, she's 90 something years old and she cannot get it based upon where she lives. She will have to wait maybe 2 months before she will get a vaccination. If her son doesn't take her to some place where she can get it fast. So let us continue to give God thanks that the vaccine is there, but pray that those of us who need it, if you are, they said that if you are 65 and older, you should get it first. Right, Brother Wilson? But praise God that the vaccine is there. And I believe with all my heart that the time is coming when most of us can say, thank God for this vaccine. You know, all the things that have been said about other disease and other things that happened to so many people, some before we, some of us were born, that God created a medicine. And thank God we're not thinking about those illnesses anymore. We are thinking about the virus that's plaguing us. We are hoping that some of those people that got the food will be here. And if they are not here, we will do what many believers did in the past, travel the community with a tract. And we are hoping that we will not travel like how we used to travel before, with a whole pile of things in our hands and just giving it to this one and we'll run and give it to the next one. We'll walk slowly and develop a conversation about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are hoping that we'll be able to do that and give a tract. You know how many people are saved by a tract? Brother Joshua Peakey, who used to come here, he's gone on to glory now. He told us how he got saved. He was walking in his community in Africa and saw a tract floating down the river or the street or the whatever it was. And he picked it up and read it. And that's how he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And just think about how many people have been saved through one brother who read a tract and become a servant of Jesus Christ preaching the gospel. We can't and should do the same thing, so that in spite of how empty this place is, if we start doing what Jesus Christ did when he was here on earth, this place can be crowded again by people who heard the word of God from us and decided to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue. Jesus not only called four. He invited 12 men to follow him. Obviously, one of the 12 was Judas, who betrayed him. But he called 12 men, and he taught them how to teach, how to preach, how to love, how to give. Jesus Christ taught the disciples. In other words, he was like a university. Everything that the ungodly man or woman needed to know to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus taught his disciples. That's number one. Number two, Jesus did not go on a vacation. I read the scripture several times to see if I could find out where Jesus take a week off. No, brethren, I'm not saying that we do not need it. There are times when we need to take off a week or so and get some rest. But Jesus Christ go out every day. The only time that he takes some time off was in the evening when he sent home the people that he was preaching to and his disciples, and they said Jesus went up into a mountain to pray. Why Jesus was praying? He was praying to the Father because he was 100% man and 100% God. And the God-man needed to pray to teach us that we need to pray. And I believe many of us, if we weren't praying before, when we saw what is going on around us, every day there's something new. Not only Jesus prayed, but he what? He healed the sick. He cleansed the leper. He opened the eyes of the blind. You name it. Jesus did it. So he was always busy. Doing the will of his Father. And this morning we were praying, we were giving thanks and singing those beautiful hymns. Why? Because one day we heard the gospel and we turn our eyes to Jesus Christ. So many things are happening. If there's ever a time that we need to do what Jesus was doing when he was here on earth, is now. There's not a single day that we do not get news of someone who is sick with different form of sickness, not just the virus. We just heard when we were on the phone on Friday evening, the elders having elders meeting. That's the time we got the news that our beloved brother who used to sit over here, that he fell down and he's in the hospital. And we got news that somebody else, a family member, passed away. You name it. So we do not have time to just to dwell on Washington. You know why? Not that it's that important, but our Lord Jesus told us what to do with our politicians, with those who are in charge. He said, pray for them. Do you realize that there's power in prayer? Great power in prayer. And sometimes we put it off and decide we want to do something else. Let me tell you something. The only thing that's going to help us in this great country is the Lord Jesus Christ. And my brother and my sister, if there's ever a time when something is going to be done to let this country become that great country again. I was telling somebody that when I got my visa many years ago, I was just starting to do electrical work, and I had to travel about 60 miles where they put us up to take care of a girls' school. I think those of you from Jamaica, Hampton Girls' School. And I put my visa, that brown envelope, I have it underneath my shirt all day, because you know, if it opened before you get to the government up in America, you cannot come. And when I heard about how great America was, once I get that envelope, it was with me until I came home, and I took it off, get a shower, and I put it underneath the bed, the mattress, and sleep on it. That great country, America. And my brother and my sister. You know, the country is still great, you know. What is the people? Some things are happening, my brethren, in this great country that only God, if God does not intervene, and he will and he is, I don't know what would happen to us. Thanks be to God. But God told us in his word to preach the word, to teach the word, and he tells us all over the New Testament how to do it. And Jesus set the examples. Sometimes he preached only to one person. In Mark chapter 5, when Jesus was by the sea, he was out there preaching, and the congregation was gathered on the land, and he preached for the greater part of the day. And then he said to his disciples, we must go to Mark chapter 5. Go to the other side. Why Jesus said to go to the other side after he worked a whole day? There was one man in the city of the Gadarenes who was possessed by legions, with an S, of demons, Could you imagine one man is possessed with legions of demons? The scripture said nothing could bind him. If you chain him, he just bursts it loose. Anything you do with him, he was free to go. He was living among the dead. Now, most of us have been to a cemetery, and very few times we'll be there more than half an hour. Now, if you go there, you may have to stay there an hour because of the amount of burial that is taking place. They do not have enough workers that you could just rush there like how we used to do it, and in half an hour we are out. This man was living among the dead. And when Jesus get off the boat, immediately the man approached him and said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." But hear this, listen carefully to this. The voice was the voice of the man, but the words that came out of his mouth were the word of the devil. Be careful now. The devil that possessed him was telling Jesus to leave them alone. But praise be to God for who Jesus is. Jesus commanded the devil to come out of him. But hear this. The devil said to Jesus, "Please don't drive us away." The scripture said there were some farmers there raising pigs. And the devil said, "Please don't drive us away. Send us into the pigs." And the scripture said that the multitude, the legions of demons went into the pit. And they ran down a deep valley into the sea and drowned themselves. But hear what happened to the man. The scripture said the man, the madman that was there, he began to what? They saw him seated, clothed, and in his right mind. Oh, how great is the God that we serve. And quickly, he wanted to follow Jesus. And if I was that man, I would want to follow Jesus too. But I'm going to tell you how Jesus worked. Jesus knew that if that man get converted, his whole city could become converted. So Jesus said to him, I believe sometimes we read the scripture and we feel that Jesus said something that it was rough. But I believe Jesus said, call him aside and said, "Listen, I don't mind you following me. But if you follow me and you go and tell the people who have never known you before, they may believe you." Those are my words. "But if you go back to your city where they were afraid of you before, and you begin to preach the word of God and tell them how great things I have done for you, you know what would happen? You could transform the entire city." And that's what he did. But the people came and saw Jesus, those who were raising the swine, and said, "What happened?" And they told them what happened, and they told Jesus to leave. But guess what? The work was already done. The man began to tell them how great things Jesus Christ has done for him. One more. Okay. Time is going. You remember in John chapter 4, when Jesus said to his disciples, "I must need go through Samaria." One woman, where many of us as believers maybe would have run from, because of the lifestyle of that woman. Jesus went there 12 o'clock in the day. It was a hot day, and Jesus needed some water to drink. But you see, when Jesus prepares us, it will allow Jesus to prepare us. He let us talk in a manner where we could get the attention of the people who we are witnessing to. Jesus Christ went by the well, and he saw the woman come, and he said, "Miss, could I have a drink of water?" I do not think Jesus was rough. I think he was very tender and kind, because what he wanted to do is to get the attention of this lady. And he said, can I have a drink of water? And the lady looked at him and said, you got to be kidding. You are a Jew and you're asking me, a Samaritan, for water? Don't you know that the Jews and the Samaritans have no dealing with one another? No, we remember that the Jews, if they have to go past Samaria, and Samaria was a short way, they would go around. They would not go through Samaria. But Jesus Christ realized what was happening. He came for the sinners in Samaria. And Jesus began to talk to her. He said, give me some water. And the lady said, the Jews and the Samaritans have no dealing. And Jesus looked at her and said, my dear lady, if you know who am I, who is it that is begging you for water, you would give him the water and don't worry. Because I have water to give you that you know not of. And if you drink the water that I gave you, you will never thirst again. I wonder what was going on in the mind of that lady. And if we, based upon the fact that we know the type of lady she was, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. You just imagine, I wonder what was going on in her mind. This man is offering me something and say, if I get it, I will never thirst again. And the lady said to her, are you greater than Jacob, who built this well? His sons and his son's sons drank of that water. You don't have any rope to draw the water. You don't have any bucket. And Jesus began to talk to her. You notice something about Jesus? Not too many places that Jesus went and preached are with individuals or with a group that Jesus shouted out and said, I am Jesus, the great Messiah. Jesus just humbly deliver the message. There are many churches around here. By the time you read the sign and how great that person is, the great Reverend Bishop so and so and so and so and so and so, not Jesus. And when Jesus looked at the lady and said, I'll tell you what, go and call your husband. And the lady said, I have no husband. You know what Jesus said? You are right, because you have five, and the one that you have now is not yours. And right away the lady began to think, I wonder who is this? How come he knew so much about me? And then she began to turn to some scripture. You know how many people try to witness to them and they tell her that they go to church and everything like that? The lady told Jesus, well, you know, they told us that when the Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. Then Jesus said to her, my dear lady, the one that is speaking to you, I am he. I am he. One lady, one man, the one with the legions of angels, of devils, this woman. One lady, and when the lady heard that, the scripture said that she left her water pot and run back into the city. And you know who she first started witnessing to? The scripture said she told the men. Why did she tell the men first? Two reasons. In those days, you wouldn't find women on the street. They may go and get the water early in the morning or late in the evening. But the men always hang out, just like what's going on in Brooklyn. Drinking cheap beer. And Jesus, this lady began to tell them, I met a man who told me everything that I've ever did. Everything that I've ever done. Is not this the Christ? She did not go home and get a shower. She did not go home and change her pants and put on a dress. She began to preach the gospel. And when they heard her, knowing the type of person she was, they listened to her. Not only did they listen to her, she told them where the man was, the man Christ Jesus. And they went there and heard the testimony of Jesus for themselves. And they said to the lady, we believe, not only because you told us, but because we heard it from Jesus himself. My brothers and sisters, when we preach in the gospel, let's make sure that we don't rough up anybody and begin to give them the whole Romans rule. It's good, but there's a time for that. But lovingly sharing the word of God, lovingly carry ourselves in a manner that people can say we are different. I know I'm going to close now, but my beloved sister is going in the hospital tomorrow. And I told her something recently. In my past life, that same hospital I used to visit very often. And one day I went with my wife who gone on to glory. Thank God, there's not around, so no sisters are saying anything to me this time. And I took her in hospital. I went to my doctor, and the doctor, very nice man, Dr. Yuta recommended me. And he said, I heard that your wife is ill. I said, yes. He said to me, where is she? And I said, she's sitting out there waiting for me. And he went out right away and talked to her. And then he came back and said, Mr. Allwood, take her immediately to the hospital. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I was down. But anyway, I took her. And when I got there, I went to the hospital where my beloved sister was working. Well, I can't say was now because you're not working anymore. Praise the Lord. And some of the nurses looked at her and said, that's Nurse Grant, church sister. You know what that tells me? That you live a life of testimony in your hospital. Let us live a life of testimony as we walk on the street. When you go to the store, let us walk with some tracts. Tracts. Sometimes you do not have time to preach. You give a tract here and give a tract there. If you're here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I give you the story of several people, but most importantly, a story of how Jesus Christ teach, preach, heal, because that's what he came for. And let me tell you, and I'm talking to all of us, some of us who are saved but you're not walking, that we are not lucky. We are blessed. That's why we are here alive this morning. When you think of so many people who are dying, you know, since I started talking here this morning, how many people died already? And will be dead before the day is up? Why you think that one of us that would be here, stretching out here in a casket, this weekend? Let us trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not asking you what you did, but the scripture said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ, he died on the cross of Calvary to redeem us back to himself. If you are here, you can be saved. As long as you are alive, if you are alive, you can be saved. The only time that there's no hope for you is when you are dead. You have some people who tell you that they're going to have a good time in hell. Let me tell you something, that's wrong. When you go to hell, you are going to be suffering for the rest of eternity. But God never sent anyone to hell. Everyone that reached hell, you go there because you said, Jesus, I do not need you. But you know what? When Jesus was on the cross, there was a thief on his left hand and one on his right hand. And the one on the left hand said, look at you. Save yourself and save us. And the other one said, leave him alone. He is not worthy of where he is, but we are worthy. And he looked at Jesus and he said, Jesus, have mercy on me. You know what Jesus told him? This day, not tomorrow, you shall be with me in paradise. Young man, young lady, old one, if you are here, I'm going to close. But I'm going to ask you, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, do not walk through these doors and go back where you came from. without knowing Jesus Christ. There's nothing you have to pay. We are living in a world today where so many people cannot find food to eat because they're not working. But salvation is free. And guess what? You don't have to tell me what you did in your past life. Talk to Jesus alone. And you know, Jesus is not a gossiper. When you tell him, you know what he said? Welcome home, my son. Welcome home, my daughter. Let's trust Jesus Christ before it's forever too late. If you die without trusting him, hell is your portion. And what a sad thing for you to know that you heard the gospel and you're going to hell. Trust Jesus Christ. I could spend the rest of the day here because, you know, I'm not home and, you know, I'm not going to work or anything like that. But it doesn't take long. Most of the people that Jesus touched, some of them it take less than 15 minutes for him to bring the gospel to them. And they are saved, sealed for heaven forevermore. I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to ask you, the saints, believers are praying. If you're here this morning, you have never trust the Lord. You figure that you have time. But we do not have much time. A young man, 41 years old, won the election to be in Washington. He's 41 years old, never had any underlying sickness. He was prepared in every way. He's going to serve America. He came down with the virus. And you figure out 41, not sick. When you saw him on TV the other day, heard about him. Yeah, we saw him, his picture. Young man with a young wife, two young kids. He is dead. And many more like him. Dead. What if he didn't trust the Lord Jesus? You know where he is. So I'm asking you, please, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ, saints, I'm going to ask you, your heads are bowed. I'm going to talk to those who do not know Jesus Christ. If you want, Brother Aldo to pray for you this morning. I know we have to have 6 feet in front of us, but because this is God's business, even if I have to put my arms around you, God not going to give me the sickness when I'm dealing with a soul for heaven. If there's one person who wants to be saved, I'm going to ask, just raise your hand and say, Brother Aldo, please pray for me. Please pray for me. I do not want to die and go to hell. There's no hope for you in hell. The only hope that we have is now. Today. Today. Is there one? Let's say, Brother Aldo, please pray for me. If you are here and you do not want to raise your hand because you feel that you don't want anyone to know that you didn't trust the Lord, maybe you have been coming here for a while and you haven't trusted the Lord yet. But let me tell you something. If you embarrass now, when you are in hell, there's no preacher here. The only preaching you're going to hear is now. That man that was on the right hand of Jesus while he was dying, he is in glory now. And I don't think it took him, I think it took less than a minute for him to say, Jesus, have mercy on me. And he's in glory. With you, it can be the same thing. So many sickness, so many death. But Jesus Christ died for us all. Trust him today, before time changes to eternity. Let us pray. Eternal God and Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, how we thank you and we praise you for who you are. We thank you, O God, for coming into this world, your Son, Jesus Christ, did nothing worthy of death, but he came. Lord God and Father, we thank you for him coming. We thank you, O God, that all that we went through on this earth, travel around preaching and teaching, healing the sick, raising the dead, Lord. But Lord, his mind was set to go to Calvary. And the trial, oh God, so many lies were told. But all the way to Calvary, he went. Lord God and Father, those nails that was driven in his hands and his feet. Lord God and Father, no matter how much movie we make to explain or to show what Jesus went through, no man can ever experience what Jesus experienced. And he experienced it for us. Thank you, Lord. For me, he experienced death. But Lord God and Father, we thank you that before he died, he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then, Lord, then he said, it is finished. Not only that he was dead, but that the price for our salvation was paid in full. That's why he said, it is finished. And this morning, today, salvation is free through the miraculous work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. If you are here this morning, do not leave without trusting Jesus Christ. And if we are all saved, let's give glory to God that if we passed away this moment, we are going to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Beloved saints, let us find time to tell the world or those who we come in contact with that Jesus Christ died for our sins and he's available today. Lord, we give you thanks. We pray, oh God, that as we leave this morning, that you will guide us, preserve us, those who will be driving home or even take the bus, oh God and Father. Recently we heard of a bus driver who was pulled out from his seat and beaten up for no reason. Lord, we give you thanks that you are God who preserves us and protects us. We thank you, we praise you. Lord, we pray for those in our midst, our family members who are ill, Lord God and Father. Have mercy upon them, O God. Those who read your words in the past, O God, and cannot come out now, O God. Bring back your word to their hearts and their mind, that they can enjoy the goodness of the Lord at home. Lord God and Father, we pray for those who need help financially, for food and otherwise. Lord, we ask you to touch our hearts that we will help them. Lord, we pray for those who in different parts of the world who have asked their friends or their family members to join us by way of Zoom or by telephone, oh God and Father, that they will read the word of God, what Jesus did and how he died for our sins. And Lord God and Father, we pray that some will come to know you, or all will come to know you before time changes to eternity. We give you thanks, we give you praise, in and through the wordy name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.